The following sermon was recorded at Pipe Creek Community Church in Pipe Creek, Texas. For more information, visit our website at pipecreekcc.com. May God bless you as you study His Word.
So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the introduction to 1 John in verses 1 through 4, where John focuses on Jesus as the non-negotiable. Jesus is the ultimate absolute, the preeminent necessity in the Christian life. In coming to faith and in living out our faith each and every day, Jesus is the must-have. He is the essential. He is the indispensable. He's everything. And then starting in verse 5, which where we begin today, through chapter 2, verse 2, John's going to turn to what really is the matter at issue as it relates to true faith and having a true salvation and knowing your salvation with a true assurance. And giving further explanation as to why Jesus is the supreme imperative, as he has already described in the first verses. And every soul in all the universe, before and right now in the present, and for all eternity, what matters most? The matter at issue, and it's really not even close. What's most important is knowing God. Being reconciled to God in relationship and knowing Him. That's what this life's all about. There's really not even a close second place compared to that, really. Everything else good and wonderful and beautiful and joyful flows out of that. And if you don't have that relationship with God, if you don't know God through Christ, then none of those other things happen. Not as they're supposed to happen, as they're not beautiful as they should be. They're not joyful as they could be. They're not right and true. They're not noble. Life just becomes an exercise of spending your days. So the matter at issue really is knowing God. And so he begins by, in verse 5 this morning, by presenting God. He's going to present God. Then he's going to present the implications of the God that he's presented. God is light, verse 5. Deal with it. We're going to have to deal with it this morning. God is light, verse 5. And then from verse 6 to 2:2, it's about the implications of that. Or you might say, the complications that come with that. Or even the consequences that result because of that. He is light. He is a God in contrast, ultimate contrast to who we are apart from Him. There is no greater difference in all the universe than God and sinner. Ultimately, there's nothing further apart than that, than those two things. Than a holy, righteous God who is light and an unworthy, fallen sinner who is darkness. Not just in darkness, we are darkness apart from Him. We are His enemies apart from knowing Jesus and having reconciled relationship to Him. But we are enemies in direct contradiction to one another. We're nothing like Him. So it's clear, really, with nothing more than a glance, what is the focus of John as he proclaims in verse 5, God is light. And then what it means in verse 6 and 7, and then really, beginning with the last word in verse 7, sin. Last word in verse 7. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And right there, beginning with that word sin at the end of verse 7, from that point to the end of verse 2, chapter 2, 9 times the word sin or sinned or sins is used. And one time the word unrighteousness is used, which is pretty much the same thing. So when he starts to talk about, when it's talking about God, he's going to present God to us. God is light. And as we talk more and more about you and I in relationship to Him, what comes up over and over again is sin. Sin. Sinned. Sins. Unrighteousness. So with really, as I said, with really nothing more than a glance, you see what John is getting at here. So, I think the chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2 should be seen as a section together. They should be preached as one. And we can't get through all these verses at one time, so this is going to be done in two parts this morning. I think they are to be interpreted, though, as a section. So this morning we're going to do verses 5 through 9 for the most part, and then pick up next week in beginning in verse 10 through chapter 2, verse 2, with, of course, probably some overlap there. But make no mistake, what John is doing here is he's defining the relationship. You know, in relationships, especially as you're between a man and a woman, before you get married, as you're getting to know each other, at some point there's a meeting that happens in which there needs to be a defining of the relationship. What is it? What are we going to be exactly, right? And maybe those kind of circumstances, we find those circumstances in other relationships in our life. We have to stop and we have to define the relationship. What are we exactly to one another here? What is the goal and the purpose of these things? That's really what John is doing here. He's going to define the relationship for us. The marks of a relationship with God. What has to be overcome for this relationship with God? What has to be overcome for this relationship with God? How can we have this relationship with God? And how can we be confident in it? And thus have true assurance. And as only John can, he's going to present this while at the same time presenting this to us, this defining the relationship that's happening and helping us see the true marks of what a life lived in relationship with God looks like. While he's presenting that, he's going to at the same time be fighting against the Gnostic heresy, or what would eventually become Gnosticism that we've talked about. We talked about in previous weeks. He's doing both at the same time. And he's doing it in a way that's glorious and convicting. This is the apostle of love. He doesn't talk about love for a few more chapters. He's going to talk for a little while about sin first. And he's going to talk about sin in relationship to God's holiness, which makes our sin all the more icky and awful and horrific. So much so that he has to say cleansed twice in the following verses. Cleanse us from our sin, cleanse us from our unrighteousness. We need to be cleaned because we're sinners and God is glorious. And so by beginning in verse 5 with a presentation of God is light, what he's saying to us is, he establishes that as a foundation. And then from that point on, he says, I want you to understand everything else in relationship to the fact that God is light. God is light. Now, put that right beside you and look at everything else through that. Here, everything else that I'm saying in relationship to the fact that God is light. And that's how we're supposed to understand this section. So two broad points here. Broadly speaking, we're going to break this apart into two points, and that is the light and the life. Okay? The light, God is light. And then the life that you and I are to live, the true Christian life and the counterfeit Christian life, as understood in relationship to a God who is light. Okay? So the light and the life. First of all, the light. Now, I want you first and foremost to notice the order of things here. He's going to say God is light in verse 5. We've said that. Verses 6 through 10 is going to provide further, it's going to lay out for us further the implications of that. He's going to, in doing that, going to be clarifying some things. Now, by this, I don't mean this. I mean this. He's going to be doing that, okay? And you're going to see that. He's going to be showing us what it means to be true versus false. How this is, when it's true, is described as walking in the light. What does a true Christian life look like? It looks like walking in the light. But no, but what I want you to notice is the order. I want you to see that, first and foremost, we have the message. Then we have a description of the life. Message, God, life. Right? Verse 5. This is the message we have heard. This is the message we have heard from Him, from Jesus. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. And then we're going to get into how we live. But what comes first? Message. And the message is God. Everything begins with God. If it doesn't begin with God, it's messed up. What is the message? God is the message. God is light. That's the message. The message is who God is. And that's the message they heard from Jesus. It's almost like He's summing it up for us. What did He say in the first four verses? What we heard and what we've seen, we were eyewitnesses to, we proclaimed to you. What did we heard from Jesus? We said to you. And here He says, this is the message we heard from Him. God is light. The message always begins with God. It's a message about God, not about man. The implications of the message about God fall on man. But it's not about you and me. It's about who God is. The message is not about you and how you live. It's about who God is and how He lives. Everything we do is because of who God is. So John sets this up as the basis for everything that follows after. There are many applications. So first, it begins with God. Recognize that. Secondly, what is the message the apostles heard? God is the message they heard. And that's the message they're proclaiming. It's not about our life. It's about God. He's the message. I'm emphasizing this point. Can you tell I'm emphasizing this point? Because we are called to be the light of the world. Yes and amen. Right? Absolutely. And truth be known, Jesus says that in two or three different ways. Then the Apostle Paul is going to talk about it in different ways. How we walk in the light and as compared to who Jesus is. So this is a big issue in Scripture. And it should be emphasized. We are the light of the world. But as Christians, we often say things like, oh gosh, St. Francis of Assisi one time said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I mean, that sounds real good. That's really good. But it's messed up. It's wrong. We might even say things, then that has some truth in it. We might even say things like, your life is the only gospel people are going to see. Yeah, there's some truth in that, maybe, right? But no one, listen, no one is going to be saved by your life. Right? No one is going to be saved by a message about your life. The message is God. It's not about us. Our life never saved anyone. Never. His life is what saves. He's the message. As a matter of fact, John is about to say, in just a minute, he's going to say, walking in the light is not sinlessness, but sin consciousness. Sin awareness is the Christian life, not sinlessness. And my fear is that if you think your life is the message, then you're going to live a life, a big faker life, which you're always putting on a show and trying to pretend to be somebody you're not. That's a bad thing. Or you're going to fall into the Christian hypocrite response. Like, if you're a Christian and you sin, you're a hypocrite. John says, knowing you're a sinner is walking in the light. Confessing you're a sinner is walking in the light. A Christian is no hypocrite because he sins sometimes in public. You're going to sin around people sometimes. Yes? Your life never saved anyone. Acknowledge it. Man, I messed up. Tell the people around you, hey, if you saw me do that, I'm confessing sin and I'm going to Jesus. Okay? If you want to do that, that's good. Do that. But don't shrink. Don't fall for that. That's not Christianity. A Christian hypocrite would be somebody who says, I don't sin at all. I can do it myself. And then sin. That would be a hypocrite. A Christian is someone who absolutely says, I can't. I'm messed up. I need Jesus. And they spend their whole life in that light confessing their sins. That's the message, okay? That's the message. So while there's truth in those statements, it's not really right. If you're going to preach the gospel, you've got to use your words. Because it's a message about God. Just because you sin sometimes does not mean you ruined your witness. Now, can you? Sure. Sure. But you're a sinner. John says you're a sinner. Hate it. Hate it. But we don't deny it. It's what the Pharisees were doing. Denying themselves all over the place. So, this is the message. So John is saying the message was from Jesus and it was not discovered. It was revealed. Wasn't our idea. Came from him. Wasn't our plan. We really smart apostles didn't gather up and decide to do this. Jesus came and got us. And the same is true of you and I. Came and got us. You were walking in darkness and one day he revealed himself to you and boom, light. He gets the glory for the new heart and the salvation that happens in here. So God is light is a pretty profound thing to say. And I would imagine that it would take months of sermons for somebody even as not, like me, who's not even that smart to preach through everything that God is light means. That would take a long time. So I think John wants us to understand this statement in the context of what's going on here. I mean, what exactly is his purpose in saying God is light? In the Bible, I think light, as it relates to God, is really described in two ways. First, God's revelation of himself is light. And second, the holiness of God, the perfect purity of God, the righteousness of God, the goodness and integrity of God. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about God is light. In those two broad ways, that's what really, throughout the Bible, that's what you see, I think, over and over again. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is light. His truth is light. As his revelation of himself gives me light. He is my light and my salvation, Psalm 27. And also, he's holy, Isaiah chapter 5. as woes are pronounced against people who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. And now we're talking about morality. We're talking about a life lived that is in contradiction to what God approves. A life that is lived at odds with the glory of God. So you see those two main things. The revelation of God, the truth of God is light, and the character of God is light. So holiness and perfect righteousness is what John begins with. And he begins with God as revealing himself. He's light, meaning it is God's desire to be known, to be seen and known by those who are his. Come know me, come understand me. There in him there is no darkness at all. There is no hidden dark side of God. There's nothing you have to worry about on the other side that you can't see, because in him there's no darkness at all. Through and through, it's only light. And that light has been revealed. Primarily in his Son, who came to show us what God is like. He is the exegesis of God, the Word. And when God is light, is introduced by John, we're supposed to understand it, that God is truth. We're supposed to understand it as everything that is known is should be known in light of God. Everything that's understood should be understood in relationship to a God who is light. If you think you know something separate from who God is, you don't really know it. You take what you're learning and you place it in the light of God and you know it in relationship to Him to really know it. Because God is light. All of life should be interpreted in relationship to God is light. Psalm 36:9. In thy light we see light. In thy light we see light. Apart from being in relationship to Him and near Him and seeing everything through Him, what you're seeing, you won't know if you're seeing it right unless you're seeing it through Him. It's in your light we see light. That's what that means. So here we have a glorious God. We have a perfectly righteous God in every attribute. Absolutely good, with no dark side at all, no hidden side. Remember, who is he battling? Gnostics who believe there's some secret belief that I can have that you can't have. And John says he's light. He's revealed himself. He wants to be known. He's not hiding anything that needs to be known. He's presenting who he is. You don't have a secret knowledge that I don't have. Because God is light. Here it is in his word. Dive in. Know him. Swim around in God. And he can be trusted. He can be trusted because he's light and in him there is no darkness at all. What he says is true. It's true through and through. Without compromise. There are no plan B's. He knows everything. He doesn't need a plan B. He's not anxious about what might get messed up that he has to change. He has a decree from the foundation of the world. He's bringing it all to pass for his glory. This is the God we serve and love. He's light. Now, is this good news? Right? I'm not sure. No. Yes. That's where John wants you. That's where he wants us to be. God is light. And before you start to celebrate, you think, oh, whoa. Because I'm not. And how in the world am I going to have a relationship with a God who is that? When I'm this. Right? That's where He has us. This is where His mind is. This is where He's going. And you can tell. Very next verse. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him. See? As soon as you think, yes, God is light. Boom, I'm in. And if we say we have fellowship with Him, are you sure? Because this is what it's going to look like. See, everything is understood in because of that. God is light. This huge, this enormous truth. It's a great guide. It's a great tool for self-examination. Right? Because God is light. So you can tell where His mind is. You can tell where He's going. We should be asking, okay, how can I have fellowship with Him? How can I? Now, for good reasons, the world asks the question, how can this good God be in relationship to all this evil I see? And that's a good question. And I think I have some good answers if you're asking that question. Come and talk to me. We'll hash it out. John's concern is not that. John's concern is why is there evil if God is so good? John's concern is, given my sin and my evil heart, how can I know Him? That's John's concern. John's concern is not to explain evil, but how can I stop doing it? That's really the greater question. So we have the light. Establishes first and foremost this foundation of who God is. Now, look. Second point, the life. This means how you live. Your living is connected to His being. Your living is connected to His being. Who He is directly related to how you live. And that's what He sets up for us. So we have, secondly, the life, beginning in verse 6. So from 6 to 10, John lays out the ramifications for what our life should look like, given the fact that God is light. And the way He does it, is He does it in a pair of statements. A false statement about a false mark of somebody who's walking with God, and a true statement about a true mark of what someone looks like who's walking with God. You see it? So it's a false plea. I have fellowship with God, but I'm walking in darkness. And John says, lie. That's a lie. If we say, and we walk in darkness, we lie. Now, what's true? What's true? Verse 7 is what's true. I'm sorry. Verse 6. Yeah, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we say we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness. So somebody says, I know God. I have relationship with God. And they're walking in darkness. And so John says that's a lie. What is true is that if someone has real fellowship with Him, they're going to walk in the light as He is in the light. And they're going to have fellowship with their brothers, sisters. And the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. And He's going to do the same thing in verse 8 and 9. I'm sorry, I got these mixed up. Verse 7 and 8. And then verse 9 and 10. Okay? You see it, verse 6, 8, and 10. If we say, verse 6, if we say, verse 8, if we say, verse 10, if we say. These are going to be false claims. And then He's going to defeat them, call them out for what they are, and then give us the true claim. And thus he's going to give us the marks of relationship with God. What does a life look like that is walking in the light, that is living in relationship with God? So here we go. Those first two pairs. We're going to probably get through verse 9, I think, this morning if we're lucky. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. The apostle of love is not, he's not holding back here. You're a liar. And you do not practice the truth. That word practice, I hate the word practice. Christianity is not practiced. It's not like practicing law or practicing medicine. It's not something you pick up and start to do if you've taken off for a while. Christianity is something that picks you up. It's lived. It's not a matter of starting to be more committed to it or something. You are either a Christian or you're not. You can't be a little bit pregnant or a little bit married. Right? So here we go, verse 6. He's going to start us off with reminding us what fellowship means. What does fellowship mean? Verses 1 through 4, he talked about it over and over again. When we're talking about fellowship, we're talking about someone in union. We're not talking about someone who shares coffee or has a meal together. Fellowship with God means I'm bonded with God. I'm in union with God. I have the same goals as God. I see things the way God sees it. I agree with what he says. And what he denies, I disagree with. I'm with him and he's with me. This is what that's what koinonia means. That's what fellowship means. So when he says, if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, he's not talking about mature Christians versus carnal Christians. He's talking about true Christians versus false ones. These are the people who are saved versus these are the people who are lost. If you have fellowship with God, you're saved. If you don't have fellowship with God, you're not. And there is no kind of in there. So the claim is, I'm saved. I have a relationship with God. While at the same time, this person who says this is living in the darkness. So John says, liar. In a Christian way. He says that in a good Christian way. Liar. Okay? So John is taking this God is light metaphor and he's drawing it out and he's saying, if God is light, then fellowship with light must present a life walking in the light. That makes perfect sense. Of course. You can't say you have unity, you are connected to God who is light, and then be in darkness. Those don't go together. So he's drawing it out and showing us what he means. See how glorious this truth of God is light is? It makes self-examination clear. A life of living in darkness is obviously not in union with the light. What does light do? Light exposes. Light says, this is what is. There's no hiding if you're in the light. At the end of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A good tree will produce good fruit. And a bad tree will produce bad fruit. Therefore, you will know them by their fruit. The life you're living, are you living it in darkness? This walking in darkness, it just means walking around. It's just like you're living and you're living all the time in darkness. So notice, John defines lying for us here. How does he define lying? He says, you're lying and you are not practicing the truth. You're not doing the truth. That's what it says. It's that plain. You are not doing the truth. Truth is, therefore, not understood. Truth doesn't show itself in the sphere of the intellect. You don't know that you know what is true just because you, in your head, you know the right answer. According to John, truth is known as a function. If you know something is true in your head and you get all the answers on the God test right, but then it's not functional in your life, John says, liar. I don't care that you got 100 on the theology test. You get a 0 because it's not functional in your life. Unless it is known and applied in a functional way in your life, you don't really know it. Who is the liar? It doesn't say the liar is not the one who gets the questions wrong. The liar is the one who's not doing truth. That's the liar. Oh, man. Does that hurt? I want to say it in a way that hurts, because it should hurt. Because I love you. Not only is the lips not matching the life, in other words, a person is saying something that's not being lived out, but the truth is known in the living out, in the functionality of what you know, actually being applied, so that it's fruit, it's being produced, it's a result. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, look, if we walk in the light, you're living as He is in the light. His being. You're living His being. Do you see that? If you walk in the light as He is in the light, because of who He is, this is how you live. It's all about who God is. Now, what is walking in the light? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How we live, connected with who He is, showing itself in our fellowship with others. What is the commonality in the fellowship? We all have the same truth. We're all walking in the same light. We're all looking to the same God. That's what walking in the light is. In verse 6 and 7. If you say you walk while you're in the darkness, you lie. Walking in light means you have fellowship with others who are also walking in the light. And I think that means coming to church on Sunday, but I think it means more than that. Much more. But the life that is lived in the light is connected to a God who is light. And a life that is lived in relationship and fellowship with others is directly connected to a God who is light. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So not only is the mark of walking in the light fellowship with God and fellowship with others, but it is the assurance of your sins being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Why do I have this assurance? Because I am walking in relationship to who God is. Everything I do and think and who I am, I do and think and know about myself in relationship to who He is. God is light. In other words, God says He is light. I don't live in contradiction to that. Because if I'm doing that, then I'm not living in a relationship with God. If God says He is something, God says this is true, God says this is blasphemy, God says this is an abomination, then I say that. Because I am in relationship with Him. I don't say the opposite of that. I don't live in contradiction to that. It's that simple. It's marked by fellowship with others, and it's marked by knowing that our sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then verse 8, if we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So, we were lying the first time when we said it, and now we're saying we have no sin. Now it's self-deception. We're not lying to others, we're lying to ourselves. He's mentioned at the very end of verse 7, sin. Cleanse us from all sin. Now, he's doing a clarification here. He's going to say, I don't mean by that that everybody who's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus from their sin doesn't sin. He's clarifying what this means. I'm not saying that you don't sin. What I am saying is, verse 9, you confess your sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And what? The truth isn't even in us. So notice, who I am in relationship to God results in truth being in me. And the truth in me naturally produces itself and shows itself in the fruit of my life. The truth in here comes out there. And if it doesn't happen, John says, truth's not in there. Because Jesus isn't in there. We got to hurry because we're out of time here. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. False. What is true? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what are the marks of someone walking in the light? Fellowship with God and fellowship with others, and a life that is lived confessing sin. All of life is repentance. Daily, moment by moment. It makes perfect sense. Look, imagine the image. Here I am in relationship, in union with God who is light. If that's true, then that would mean every moment I'm in the light. Every single moment I'm being shown myself. It would have to be a life of confession of sin. If you're in the light, you're going to see your sin all the time. The more closer and intimate this relationship is, the more aware of your sin you're going to be. It would be, I mentioned this in the men's Bible study on Friday morning. We're in Proverbs talking about wisdom. I felt like everybody was thinking that I was trying to say something really profound. I really wasn't. But what I was trying to say is, look, if you're constantly in the light, there's never a time in which you say, I don't sin. There's never a time in which you say, I know this already. There's never a time in which you, if you're in the light, you always know what you don't know, what I mean. Right? You're always being shown. You're messed up. You're wrong. You're in the light. You're always being reminded of how glorious He is, of all the things you used to think you knew, but now you know, man, I was so wrong. That's constantly happening in your light, in the light. It's impossible to be prideful walking in the light. You're constantly dragging yourself back to Scripture and making sure that you think what you know, you know. Because that's what the light does. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. This would mean that I neither know myself, my own heart, nor do I know His holiness if I say I don't have sin. I can't be in the light and not know myself or His holiness. That's what the light is, showing you yourself and His holiness all the time. So John says, if you are in the light, you will confess your sins. And this is the good side of the light. You're being shown how messed up you are all the time, but He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why? Because of what Jesus did, cleansing us from all our sins by His blood. Notice, please, it does not say that He is faithful and sentimental to forgive you of your sins. He's just going to let the sin go because He really loves you and He doesn't want to get you too angry or make you think that you're not a good person. That's not what it says. Faithful and just. When we're talking about just, we're talking about righteousness. It is right for God to forgive you of your sin because of what Jesus has done for you. He is not denying His perfect righteousness and holiness when He forgives you. He is putting His righteousness on display in forgiving you because He's already punished it on Jesus. So in this light, you stay constantly humble and constantly confident. And this is how the Christian life is to be lived. All of life is to be understood here. You are to always be at the same time hating your sin, seeing so much of it, and in awe of the salvation that you have. That's what it means to walk in the light. His forgiveness is not indulgence. It's not mushy. Your sin has been dragged into the light, and Christ's blood has so cleansed you of your sins that the light can find no sin there. Although you see it, He doesn't. This is the Christian life. This is how we are to live. There's great joy in this place. All of our sin has been, that the light can find, has already been remedied by the precious blood of Jesus. And we live in this light. And our life is a matter, it's a function of who He is. And we're cleansed from our sin and from our unrighteousness, which is much more than just being relieved of the guilt, much more than just being relieved of the punishment that He took. It's that. But what it means is if the Christian life is constantly a confession of sin and being cleansed from sin and unrighteousness, that means this cleansing right here is a cleansing of sanctification. You're not just being pardoned for sin over and over again. It's sanctifying cleansing. I'm in the light, and I'm being shown more of myself, and I'm growing, and I'm becoming more like Him. This is a sanctifying cleansing. The salvation cleansing has already happened. This is a sanctifying cleansing. Day by day by day. Growing confidently, more humble. And growing humbly, more confident with each moment. Next week, we'll finish up what it means to confess our sins and the satisfaction, the propitiation for our sins that Jesus